Daily Vacation Bible School is one of the many ministries that we have here at First Philippine Baptist Church. And by the way, we hold Daily Vacation Bible School every summer when our kids are take a break from classes. And since Daily Vacation Bible School is considered as an effective tool for evangelism or an avenue through which we can share the gospel or the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, we have allocated our resources, our time, and our energy with the hope that the seeds of faith that we have planted in the hearts of our children during Daily Vacation Bible School these past 5 days will grow and eventually bring about a harvest of souls unto God. Now, the theme of this year's Daily Vacation Bible School is Nothing is Impossible with God. And in the 5 days that the children were in attendance, they did not just hear about God's love, but they also had the opportunity to see it, to touch it, to taste it, and even to put it into action through God's sighting. For example, on Monday, they learned that no matter who you are, trust God. And the key verse is found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, which reads, "People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Now, on Tuesday, they learned that no matter how you feel, trust God. And the key verse is found in John chapter 14, verse 1. Jesus Christ said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God or believe in me." On Wednesday, they learned that no matter what people do, trust God. And the key verse is found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, which reads, "But those who trust, those who hope in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on wings like eagles." On Thursday, they learned that no matter what happens, trust God. And the key verse is found in Romans chapter 8, verse 38, which reads, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. And finally, on Friday, the last day of our Daily Vacation Bible School, our children learned that no matter where you are, and the key verse is Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, which reads, "Be strong and courageous, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So these were the truths from the Bible that the children learned as they attended Daily Vacation Bible School this past week. And I'm sure that while they enjoyed all the activities that help reinforce these truths, like Up and Away, Sing and Play, Wild Blue, Bible Adventures, Imagination Station, Sky High Movie and Missions, All-Star Games, and Fly Away Finale, as well as the snacks and the Filipino food, the American food, the Italian food, and the Tex-Mex food they had for lunch, I believe that the best value they got by being here during Daily Vacation Bible School, rain or shine, was that they were fed spiritually and came to know that Jesus Christ loves them, that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for their sins, that Jesus Christ made a way for them to live with God forever. John chapter 3, verse 16 is very clear. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Jesus Christ shall not perish but have everlasting life." And John chapter 14, verse 6, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God the Father except through me." So I hope that these past 5 days our kids did not just enjoy the food, the games, and the other things that they did there for fun, but I hope that they've embraced the truth that God loves them through Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ died for their sins, and Jesus Christ made the way for them to live with God forever. Now, speaking of spiritual feeding, I would like to say that while our children did receive nourishment from the Word of God this past week during Daily Vacation Bible School, they were not the only ones who need this feeding, who need nourishment, because the truth of the matter is that all of us here, young and old alike, ought to appropriate the Word of God, the Bible, into our lives. And so today, I would like to draw your attention to the Word of God one more time, particularly to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, which is the key verse for the truth our children learned last Thursday. And what was the truth last Thursday? No matter what happens, trust God. Now this verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 38, by itself already gives us the reason why no matter what happens, we can trust God. But I believe that we will have a better grasp of who God is if we also take into consideration the other important things he has done on our behalf, as pointed out by the Apostle Paul in verses 29 and 30 of Romans chapter 8. Now, by the way, the one who wrote, for those of you who are not familiar with the book of Romans, the one who wrote the book of Romans was the Apostle Paul. That is why we always mention him as the author of the book of Romans. So he wrote Romans, the entire book, and he wrote Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 39. You see, no matter what happens, we can trust God. Not only because nothing can ever separate us from His love, but also because God did five things that brought us to a position of personal faith in Jesus Christ, or to that point when we surrendered our life fully and completely to Jesus Christ. They know that if we don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we will never really know the God that our children have been learning about during daily vacation Bible school, and upon whom all of us can place our trust. But praise God that He did not leave us in the dark, so to speak, about Him. And today, if we have this personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and we can boldly declare that no matter what happens, we can trust God, it is only because God did five things, five important things on our behalf. Firstly, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 39, the Apostle said that God foreknew us. That's the first thing that God did. Then Paul said that God predestined. Thirdly, God called us. Fourthly, those God called, He justified. And lastly, those God justified, He also glorified. Now, the glorification that the Apostle Paul talks about here will still happen in the future, when all those who have fully and completely surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ will stand out in glory. But it's interesting to note that the Apostle Paul writes this verse. He writes this verse as though this had already happened. Now, glorification will take place in the future, but the way that the Apostle Paul writes this verse is that he writes it as though it had already happened. And why do you think did Paul do this? Because in his heart of hearts, Paul believed that what God has started, God will finish up to the very end of time. And here, and none of those who are included at the very beginning of the process, when God just started with foreknowing us and predestining us and so on and so forth, none of those who are included at the very beginning of the process will ever be lost. Even if in the course of their journey, they will definitely face pain and suffering, they will definitely face death and other difficulties, they will face disappointment, sorrow, sin, failure, stumbling, falling, and many other things. So again, here's how it works, as the Apostle Paul laid out for us in verses 29 and 30 of Romans chapter 8. Those whom God foreknew before the foundation of the world, God also predestined to conform to the likeness of His Son. Then the same number of people He called, He also justified. Finally, the very ones God justified in and through Jesus Christ, He also glorified. Now, in light of these things that God did because of His love, His mercy, and His grace for us, in verse 31a of Romans chapter 8, Paul asks the final question, what then shall we say in response to this? If God foreknew us, if God predestined us, if God called us, if God justified us, if God glorified us, what then shall we say to all this? And then in verses 31b up to the end of the chapter, he mentions at least three major responses that we can have if we truly understand all that God has done for us. So are you ready for these responses? Response number one is found in verses 31b and verse 32. And here we say, if God is for us, who can be against us? And the effect of this realization is that all fear of opposition is removed. Paul, of course, is not saying that in these verses that there is no opposition anymore, that no one or nothing is ever against us, but that it does not really matter who is against us if God is for us. Those who are against us will not be able to change either God's disposition towards us or His plans for us. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 to 13, we read these words, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Church, this is one clear evidence of God's attitude towards us and also of His plans for us. So no matter what happens, trust God. Our second response is found in verses 33 and 34. "And here we say, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justified. Well, who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." Now, let me ask you this question, children. Where is Jesus Christ right now? He's at the right hand, he's in heaven, at the right hand of the throne of God the Father. And what is Jesus Christ doing for us? He is interceding. He is praying for each one of us. He's looking after our welfare. He's seeing to it that if we are a Christian, we will continue to live the Christian life faithfully. Now, church, what the Apostle Paul is telling us in these verses is that once we are justified by God, nothing and no one can accuse us successfully before Him anymore. We still have an enemy, the devil, right? Whose main preoccupation is to try to accuse us constantly, day in and day out. But these verses tell us that we must not listen to the devil's voice or to the thoughts that he places in our mind that condemn us, that put us down, and that make us feel that there's no hope for us. Make no mistake, church. These thoughts will come to us because the devil is alive. And they cannot be stopped. But we do not have to listen to them anymore, because the truth of the matter is that God is not listening to these accusations either. You see, church, the only one who has the power to condemn us is God Himself. But then in verse 1 of Romans chapter 8, Paul says that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So Jesus Christ is the answer to the question regarding condemnation. Jesus Christ died so that we could be free from our sin, and He arose from the grave so that we could live for God and with God forever. Church, if we have already accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, there is no one and there is nothing that can condemn us anymore. And the added assurance we have is that when Jesus Christ comes again someday, how many of you believe that Jesus Christ will come again someday? This is the assurance that we have. If Jesus Christ comes again someday, no longer as our Savior, but as the judge of both the living and the dead, Jesus Christ will come for us who have accepted Him as our personal Lord and Savior, and He will take us to Himself, that where He is, there we may be also. Again, no matter what happens, trust God. Our third and final response is found in verse 35a, and here we say, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And Paul asked the question, "Can trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword do it?" I don't think so, right? Now, what about death? What about life? What about angels? What about demons? What about the present? What about the future? What about any power? What about height or depth or anything else in all creation? These cannot do it either. And why? Because in verse 37 of Romans chapter 8, we read that in all these things, what did the Apostle Paul say there? In all these things, verse 20, 37, we are more than conquerors, super conquerors, I should say, through Him who loved us. This for me, church, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who who loved us, and nothing can separate us. No one can separate us from His love. This, for me, is the highest point of this entire text. And obviously, Paul cannot go beyond this, and neither can we. Because here, Paul takes everything in and says that nothing, no being or force, is capable of separating us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So for the third time, we say that no matter what happens, trust God. I would like to close this message by reading an interesting version of these texts, which Ruth Calvin wrote specifically for our context today, and it goes this way. And this is how Romans chapter 8, especially verses, 35 to 39 reads, God, I may fall flat on my face. I may fail until I feel old and beaten and done in, yet your love for me is changeless. All the music may go out of my life. My private world may shatter to dust. Even so, you will hold me in the palm of your steady hand. No turning the affairs of my fractured life can baffle you. Satan, with all his prideful declarations, cannot destruct you. Nothing can separate me from your measureless love. Pain can't. Disappointment can't. Anguish can't. Yesterday, today, tomorrow can't. The loss of my dearest love can't. Death can't. Life can't. Riots, war, insanity, unidentity, hunger, neurosis, disease, none of these things, nor all of them heaped together, can budge the fact that I am dearly loved, completely forgiven, and forever free through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. With this said, kids, can we do one final shout out? One more time? Are we ready for this? No matter who you are, no matter what you feel, no matter what people do, no matter what happens, no matter where you are. Amen. Amen. Church, I invite you, as the kids did during Daily Vacation Bible School, I hope that all of us here, even as we leave this place today, will trust God, because nothing is impossible with Him. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And we thank You, Father God, that we have the opportunity to preach, to meditate upon Your Word today. And I pray, Father, we ask that Your Word will find a lodging place in our hearts. It will not return to You. Father God, the service, Daily Vacation Bible School, everything that we do here in church is all about You. And Father God, we pray that You would have been pleased, that You would have been glorified in everything that we do. Father God, receive our praises, receive our thanksgiving. We love You, we praise You, we worship You. In Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask all these things.